Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, my guest for this week's Ask Me Anything is former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. Good afternoon, how are you?
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. You're very welcome. How are you keeping? How's life since leader?
Good. Different. Still very busy, but a whole different type of busy.
Yeah.
I kind of get to decide what I do with my time rather than not being able to decide what I do with my time.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest change.
It's got to be a big release then, you know, the freedom of just being able to do that again.
Yeah, look, I actually kind of didn't realise it until I was on holidays during August. And, you know, I would have always taken a few weeks off in August and around Christmas, but I didn't realise that for the last 13 or 14 years, even when I was on holidays, I would have spent 2 or 3 hours on my phone.
Working.
You know, just checking the news, checking emails. You know, if a TD or a senator or a councillor or a school principal rang me, I'd get back to them. You know, I wouldn't leave it 2 weeks. And then I had this weird experience during August when I actually realised what holiday is really like.
Is that,
so that was nice.
Yeah, is that, is that, you know...
And it never bothered me. Because,
no.
You know,
but, well, I was going to say all of a sudden, I don't want to say it's like people didn't care, but they were no longer, you know, badgering you and annoying you and calling you for...
I'm much happier being much less important.
Really, yeah.
works for me.
I was going to ask you that because is there ever a feeling of, oh, I got the timing of this wrong, should have stuck it out another few months? Or, do you ever regret the decision?
Not so far.
No.
I remember one of the few people I talked to about it, because it's a very hard thing to talk about, was Jacinda Ardern, you know, the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
Yeah.
And she similarly kind of
resigned
after 6 years and it was a bit of a surprise. And, you know, one thing she said to me was the only thing that she ever found hard was, you know, if a major event was happening or a major issue was unfolding in the world, she just wasn't.
No one called.
Yeah. Yeah. But like that hasn't happened to me yet. But
yeah.
Maybe it will at some stage.
Maybe
but
it will.
Look, I can live with that.
Yeah. The last time I met you, you were here. Actually, you were in with us for the local elections and the coverage of that. And you were, you know, it was, as you said, it was kind of your first summer without, you know, being in a kind of, obviously as leader of the country or even in a senior position in a senior ministry. Does that change the holiday? Like, is it now book by the pool, or do you enjoy getting out and seeing things, socialising? Like, does it change the type of holiday you can go on when you're no longer leader?
No, like I was always able to take, you know, and like some politicians work too hard, you know, that they might take 3 days off or 4 days off in the entire year, or maybe, you know, I was sort of, you know, I sort of believe in holidays, and I believe in time off. I'm very proud to have created a new public holiday, which is St. Bridget's Day, and that'll be there forever, I hope. But I only realise now that I was never really off.
You were always contactable.
I was always, and even like, you know, having dinner with friends, I would have been looking at my phone, and I just don't do that anymore.
Yeah, and Twitter, I suppose, and the push notifications and what's going on. You mentioned you're busy. I saw you were in Derry working at a conference
yesterday.
You were in the US, you were in Notre Dame. I was reading your comments, you're on the front of the Irish Times today.
Oh yeah. I don't read the papers
do
anymore,
you not
so,
you tune out of that. No, but it's interesting.
I rarely read them
because you're like, you know, you were there obviously recently and you were talking to the University of Notre Dame's college newspaper, the Observer. I suppose like that is kind of your comments have become the story really of the day. Like it's what a lot of the politicians are talking about.
I said it all before, so that's one of the interesting things about politics is you can say something 3 or 4 times and then for some reason, the third or fourth time, it becomes a big story because it's a slow news day or whatever. So
these are the comments we're talking about. The comments, of course, your comments on immigration and the rise in immigration and the numbers rising too quickly.
Mm.
You stand by those comments, then?
Well, I'm not sure it's in the papers. I haven't read it, but what I said, which I absolutely stand over, is all the research about public opinion shows that most people think immigration is a good thing for Ireland, and I think that too. It shows that most people think that the numbers in recent years have been too great, that a country of 5 million people dealing with an extra 100,000 people a year, every year, is too much. It's a struggle. What I also said, which maybe wasn't reported, is that a lot of people think it's a tap that the government can kind of, you know, turn up or turn down or regulate. And that's not true. That's not how the world works now. If you want me to get into detail on that, I can. But, you know, if anyone disagrees with me, I would ask them the very simple question, like, how much is too many? Is it 150, 200,000 a year, 500,000 a year? you know.
Ivana Patrick was here with Pat a little earlier. She talked about the comments as being, you know, inappropriate. Or
was she asked the obvious question, how many is too many?
So you think it comes down to that? It's how many is too many, that the fact that, you know, we have so many...
What did I say? Migration's been a good thing for Ireland on balance. I've always said that. It's good for our economy, good in terms of public services, makes our country a more interesting place. But the numbers in recent years have been
the country
high.
Of 5 million people, yeah. We're seeing the population rise by 2%. So what's happening at the moment is too fast.
Yeah,
is your view?
No, it's 100,000 a year is too many.
Yeah.
Now, what I also said, and maybe that wasn't reported, and I've said all this before, is that some people are under the illusion that somehow this is like some sort of tap and the government can just kind of turn it up and down. That's not how it works. And I can go into excruciating detail as to why that's not the case. And I think that's one of the misperceptions and misconceptions has. Like, one thing I would have faced a lot as Taoiseach is, you know, you're bringing all these asylum seekers into the country, you know, as if I was handing out brochures in Kabul or Syria. Like, sure, I wasn't, of course, you know, but that's what some people think. But again, look, if anyone disagrees with me, fine. I think immigration has been a good thing for Ireland. If they think it's been a bad thing, say why. I think 100,000 a year, 110,000 a year is more than we can manage. Let them tell me what they think is too many. Is it 200,000? 400,000 a year?
The other thing, I suppose, that's picked up from the interview in the Observer, and I'm going to get to listener questions in a moment, is just around the election and when now leader Simon Harris might hold that. You say you think he should go sooner rather than later. Do you have any? Your gut must have an instinct on when this will happen.
I have no idea.
I don't.
And yeah, I haven't sought to advise him on this, and he certainly hasn't confided in me on this. You know what the Taoiseach said seems very clear, that the Taoiseach wants to wait until February, so the government goes full term. And I suppose the Taoiseach has to decide whether that's going to be the case or not.
Yeah, you think though Simon Harris should go sooner rather than later?
I do. But I also know it's not that simple. My plan when I became Taoiseach back in 2017 was, you know, to get the Brexit deal done and go to the country in the summer of 2018 or 2019. And it didn't work out that way. Theresa May couldn't get the deal through the House of Commons, had to do a new deal with Boris Johnson. Mm-hmm. Boris Johnson couldn't get it through the House of Commons. And they had their elections then in December. And that's how we got locked into a February election, because essentially, I put the interests of the country ahead of the interests of the party. You know, I don't regret that, but you know, that's just the way things turn out.
Okay, pop on the headphones, Leo, if you don't mind. Loads of listener questions coming in, voice notes today. 087 1400 106, that is the number. Our first voice note for you comes from Cuiva.
Hi, Leo. Do you find it difficult to enjoy your social life when you're in the public eye?
It's a lot easier now than it was before.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Abroad is obviously easier. But no, like I've always kind of insisted on trying to lead as normal a life as possible.
Yeah, but I often think that must be hard. Like, if you've personal protection people with you, whether that's as Leo or even now post your tenure, like, you're never really on your own, really. Like,
well, like it's not so much that, because, you know, they're pretty subtle and very professional in what they do. It's more the fact that... you know, people kind of coming up to you to say hello or looking for selfies, whatever, which I don't mind, but...
Does that still happen as much?
Ah, it does, yeah. But you know, you never forget that you're not just an oral person, you're a public figure as well. And then even if people don't, you know, you can see people are talking about you, or
you
can hear them, or they're looking at you. But look, that's you know, when you stick posters of yourself up on polls and you knock on people's doors...
Comes with the territory.
Uninvited, it comes with the territory. Yeah. So.
We've another voice note in from Heather.
Have you ever said something to another world leader and then been mortified about it after?
Regrets?
There's one I remember that. I think I kind of made a quip to some world leader, I can't remember which one it was, you know, I think they were coming to Ireland. And I said, if you do really well, we might name a petrol station after you.
Because of Barack Obama.
Yes, because of the Barack Obama Plaza.
And, you have to remember who that was.
And somehow or another, we got interrupted, and I didn't get to finish it. You know, I didn't get to explain what I meant, and it kind of came back to me, you know, like a month or two later.
That you said that.
You know, what's this thing about a petrol station?
Yeah.
Because they didn't understand. You instantly understand what I meant.
They didn't, whoever
they
were.
Because they're not familiar with Barack Obama Plaza.
You've no memory of who that is. off the top of your
head? It's one or two, but I'm not sure, so I don't want to.
You don't want to say. Yeah, okay. We've another.
I have to check with one of my former officials.
Yeah, well, do let us know. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. We've this question from Helena.
Hi, Andrea. My question for Leo is, are there any politicians within the Fine Gael party that he didn't like when he was leader of the party? And was he ever tempted to not promote anyone because he didn't like them?
Good question.
Sure, sure. Of course there are people I didn't like, and I'm sure there's plenty who didn't like me as well. But no, whether I liked them or not wouldn't have been a huge consideration, no.
Really? So yeah. even if there's someone that you just like, let's be honest, I mean, we all dislike people. So if there's somebody, a politician, that you utterly despise, you have to just overlook your personal feelings for them and select them.
Yeah, if they had the ability, or you know, it wouldn't have been. Look, you take loads of things into account when it comes to promoting people or giving people a role. But whether I liked them or not wouldn't have been
really
high on the list. No,
no. We've this question, Leo, from Simon.
When you meet other world leaders and need to engage in negotiations, you probably have a strategy in mind before you walk into the room. But have any other world leaders completely thrown you off in the moment because they've behaved in a way that you haven't anticipated?
I'd say the one that stands out in that regard would be President Trump, because you could go into a meeting with him with your strategy, but he would talk about whatever he wants to talk about.
Really?
Whether it was relevant to the meeting or not.
Yeah. So presume there's an agenda going into the meeting.
Yeah, so you have an agenda, and you've the couple of things that you want to get out of the meeting, because often these meetings are quite short. They're, you know, 25 minutes, 35 minutes. So there's the one or two things that you want as outcomes from the meeting. And then there's a whole list of things that you kind of have to mention, because you get asked in the Dáil or by the media the next week, you know, did you raise X, Y or Z? And there's only so much you can raise in a meeting. But yeah, the main thing would be the one or two messages that you want to get across.
Really? And how, like, in what way would he disrupt that strategy, I suppose, or he just...
You'll have to read my book in like a year's time whenever I've written it. But you know, like people know President Trump, and they'll have seen him on The Apprentice and other things. Yeah.
So he is that character.
Yeah, he is that person. Yeah. If there is a real Donald Trump who's different, I didn't meet that person.
Really?
I met him many times, and he is the person you see on TV. And you know, you could go in with an agenda, but he wouldn't be the person who would be most inclined to stick to the agenda.
Really?
He would talk about whatever he wants to talk about.
But we've another question in from Rory.
Hi, Leo. Is there anything that surprised you or exceeded your expectations when you met Trump for the first time? Thanks.
In a similar vein.
Yeah, I think I've got to cover that.
Yeah, you think so? It was nothing different about him. He's pretty much as he is.
Yeah, he is the person you see.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Listeners wondering on WhatsApp, will you please ask Leo Varadkar which was his favourite pop culture reference that he included in his speeches while Taoiseach?
Well, some of them got missed, you know.
Really?
Yes.
Go on, which ones?
Well, there was a Dua Lipa one that got missed.
What was it?
Around new rules.
But, really? In what context?
I think it was during the pandemic.
So you made reference to Dua Lipa.
But I suppose it was so. It was probably too. Probably wasn't, you know, specific enough. So,
yeah. You have many of them, though. Was there a favorite aside from that?
I don't know.
Yeah, are they something you work into a speech?
Sometimes. Like there's one that I did work into a speech once. And did get picked up, but it's one I actually like, and it's from The Terminator, and it's no, there's no fate but the fate we make for ourselves.
Right. So you try, and would you always try to do? No, you didn't always try to do it. Just on, I suppose, I don't want to say special occasions, but at certain points.
Only the odd time.
Yeah, we've another question in from from fitness fan Carolyn.
Hi, Andrea and Leo. Ask Leo, is he doing any triathlon training at the moment? We met him years ago at Dublin City Triathlon, and it was so lovely to see a politician involved in something different, and he did a very respectable time. So yeah, I hope he's still managing to find time to get out on the bike or get a bit of swimming done. Bye.
No, not anymore. I sort of did triathlon before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I never got back into it afterwards. So what I do now is CrossFit. Badly, but
right. You do it.
But I do enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, you're a big fitness fan. I mean, you've often seen pictures of you out and running and you know, just being active.
I know, yeah, and like, you know, and I am. I just wish I got better results.
But, yeah,
maybe that's part of being 45.
Listeners wondering, what's your biggest regret? And what was the worst decision that you ever made as Taoiseach? Like, do you regret?
I think I'm terrible at best and worst answers because, you know,
like, it's a difficult question.
Yeah, it's difficult, yeah. And there isn't one thing. Sure, there's lots of things I got wrong and lots of things I got right. Is there a standout one? No.
Nothing really, even on the positive side.
That's self-praise. I don't want
to
do that.
Well, there must be one thing you'd say to yourself looking back. You know, I'm glad we got that across the line. Or, you know, that was a huge pity we didn't get that. I didn't get to finish that. I would have liked to have been the person that...
Well, I think definitely, and this wasn't a personal achievement. There's a whole team behind me. Was never buckling on Brexit. Like, there were a couple of occasions... And I'll tell more about this another day, where we came under a lot of pressure, you know, to compromise. And we didn't. And, yeah. And because of that, there's no hard border between North and South. And when I went up the road to Derry yesterday, you wouldn't even know that I crossed an international boundary. And let's keep it that way.
Yeah. We've another voice note in, Leo, today from Christy.
Is there any animosity between rival parties, or do people usually get on well behind the scenes?
I think that's changed over time. Like, when I first became a TD, it was a lot more social. And I think fewer people kind of went home. Mm. You know, the more would have stayed up in Dublin, and it was more social than it is. You know, I think in part because the motorways and everything, you know, huge numbers of people go home, whereas they would have stayed up in Dublin. So I think a lot of people get on behind the scenes. But the kind of... I think there's a view that there's this kind of camaraderie that, you know, we all give each other a hard time at all, and then we all have a few drinks in the bar afterwards. That's not true anymore. Maybe that was true
years ago,
20 years ago.
Yeah,
not anymore.
I often wonder, do you ever think, like, when you're, you know, now in government, do you ever look across the opposition and think, you know, geez, I wish we had them on our side. You know, they'd be a great whatever government, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, green politician.
Not really. It'd be more. I hope someday that they have the opportunity to serve in government, and then they might cop on.
Really?
Yeah. Look, I've been in opposition, I've been in government, and, you know, there are genuinely people in opposition who would think, for example, that they actually believe things that are not far off conspiracy theories. You know, that the government caused the housing crisis and doesn't want to solve it, and there are people across the way who... I would love to see them actually have responsibility for dealing with a problem.
And make decisions.
I think, first of all, they would understand better why we have the problems we have, and they would understand better how difficult it is to solve them.
Okay.
And, you know, just people who, you know, and I was there too. You know, I was an opposition front bencher who, you know, thought I knew all the answers and could solve all the problems. And, then had to have the real experience of dealing with 26 problems a day.
Well, actually, on that, listener here is wondering, are you ever sorry that you didn't continue as a GP with the health services? Would you ever consider going back to the GP practice again? It's from Rob.
Look, I think it'd be hard to do, you know, certainly in this country, if I was to go back as a full-time doctor. Much as you'd like the idea that your patients would come in only with their medical problems. I know the reality of public life, and I would probably have a stream of people coming in with other issues that they want me to deal with. And that's something people probably don't fully appreciate about politics, is when you go into politics, not only do you pause your career, it can be very, very hard to go back to it. And people who go into politics, they do make a big sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You know?
Fair point.
And I think that's not fully understood.
Yeah. Another voice note in from Catherine, Leo.
I know it might vary, but what kind of hours would you have done in a standard week?
Oh, like 70 or 80.
Really?
Yeah.
What time would most days start at?
I used to always try to get to the gym first thing. It mightn't have been the earliest start. Like, it might have been kind of, you know, leaving the house at sort of 7 or 7.15. But getting back rarely before 10 p.m. And then you'd come back to a whole bunch of... Mm. things to read for the next day. So you'd be going to bed at kind of 1 a.m.
There's always homework.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, always. You know, like, you know, it's not just the 7 things you have to do in the day. There's the reading you have to do and the preparation for it. So, you know, I would rarely have gone to bed before 1 or 2.
Another one from Greg.
Hi, I was just wondering how he feels about some of the new world leaders being younger. And we still have a lot of older world leaders. Hi, I was just wondering why do you have Leo there? How he feels about some of the new world leaders being younger.
Younger world leaders. How do you feel about them?
Totally fine about it. You know, when I first became Taoiseach back in 2017, you know, I was pretty much the new kid on the block.
Yeah, sure,
and,
you were.
You know, by the time I finished up in 2024, there were a whole lot of people younger than me. You know,
did you have a favourite world leader?
In terms of friends, you know, people like Xavier Bettel in Luxembourg, Mark Rutte in Netherlands, they became friends, and we're still in touch. But
you'll keep a friendship up with them.
Hope so. Yeah.
Rob is wondering, or listener here wondering, would you please ask Leo if he's ever thinking of maybe running for the presidency?
Absolutely not.
Never?
Nope.
Never would. You never would attract you at all to the House.
I don't see myself ever being a candidate for election again.
Really? That's it now. This is done. You'll never turn on that in a decade's time.
No, it's time for something else.
Yeah, something new. Okay, well, listen, Leo Bradker, thanks a million for coming in to answer listener questions today. Really appreciate it. Plenty more. We hardly surprised we could have kept you for, I'd say, another hour anyway, answering all the queries about the job of Taoiseach. That is, of course, former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.